Okay, so picture this. You're at a dinner party or some social event, chatting with friends, talking about what new movies you've seen, music they've listened to, podcasts people have enjoyed, and then someone drops a bombshell. Something incredibly controversial in this kind of space. They say that they hate podcasts. That's right. People do say that occasionally. My next guest is in that camp. He's Chris Richards, pop music critic from the Washington Post, and he joins me now. Chris, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, let's go there. You recently wrote an article saying podcasts are tedious and samey and sedative. How many friends have you lost since that piece went up?
A countless number at this point, but I did get a lot of sort of quiet emails and text messages from people who agreed with me saying, yes, I'm with you. So it seems like the story really tapped into a conversation that we should be having more openly, I think, about the quality of podcasts and whether they have quite earned this vaunted position in our cultural diet.
Okay, why do you hate them? Is it just that lots of them are crap?
I think there's a part of my essay where I talk about this thing called Sturgeon's Law. It's this maxim by a science fiction writer named Theodore Sturgeon that 90% of everything is bad. It applies to music. It applies to food. It applies to anything you can point at. I think that might be the case with podcasts, but it's a new form. And I think that people are so enraptured by the intimacy of podcasts and the astounding variety of the subjects addressed in them, that there hasn't really been much critical thinking about what the actual encounter is. And the encounter to me is everything as a listener, as a music fan, because podcasts are made out of sound. And I don't think enough podcasters are thinking about all the possibilities that exist before them. A lot of times it's just some people talking into a microphone and sending their conversation out into space. I think there's a big opportunity for a lot of podcasters to be a lot more thoughtful and deliberate in the way that they arrange sounds into these really important forms.
So do you like any podcasts?
There's one podcast in my grand search to find one that speaks to me called Ways of Hearing. It's by a musician named Damon Krukowski, a musician and a scholar who writes a lot about the way that we listen. And I highly recommend it to everyone. Part of my hypothesis is like, well, this podcast naturally sounds good because Krakowski has a musician's ear. He played in the very popular indie rock band Galaxy 500. And it's like, for me, it's like that explained it. It's like he has a musical ear. He understands listening as an experience. So I kind of talked myself through why this podcast works for me, in addition to the subject matter just being interesting. But for me, it's my starting point. And I think I tried to make the point in the essay that I'm still on my search. Like, maybe if 90% of podcasts are garbage, that does mean there are 10% of them out there waiting for me to be discovered. And I'm still searching for them.
But you've only found one.
I know. Listening is a lifelong process, and I'm not giving up. I've gotten a tremendous amount of feedback to this story. Some of it really positively spirited from the podcast community. A lot of people sending me podcasts that they think might scratch the itches that I'm trying to complain about in my piece.
And have you listened to the podcast they've suggested, and have they still failed?
I've just sort of begun, and I have not found any gold nuggets just yet, but I'm definitely, you know, life is long and listening is long. And I absolutely, as a critic, I always try to never have, this is the way I feel, and chisel it into stone tablets. I think our listening is flexible. Our opinions are flexible. I hope readers encounter my criticism the same way and, you know, treat their listening as flexible as well.
All right, I'm going to go there. Are you just a snob, maybe?
It could be. I definitely think that we should demand the very best from the experiences that are promised to us as transcendent and great. In a March cover story, New York Magazine called the podcast, quote, the most significant and exciting cultural innovation of the new century, which is a huge claim. And if we're going to accept that as a culture, let's really examine them. Let's demand that they be worthy of our listening time. I mean, intimate listening is an important, to me, it's the most important activity that I think that we do as humans, listening to one another. If we're going to really focus on podcasts and give these things our most intimate attention, then I do feel that they should be absolutely worthy of it.
Man, you're a tough customer. Right now, podcasts are a bit on trend. Are you having a violent reaction because they're just a bit on trend, maybe?
Aside from the trendiness, just the absolute barrage of them probably has something to do with it. I think there's a huge amount of podcasts washing over us, constantly a tidal wave of them, if you will, and people are devoting more and more of their attention to them. So of course, I think, yeah, as a critic, it's our job to scrutinize these things and kind of kick the tires and talk about what's working and what isn't.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's the Washington Post pop music critic, Chris Richards. And look, you know, even if you think podcasts are no good, you can at least subscribe to the Party Room podcast and the RN Drive podcast, podcasts that clearly are in this 10%. 0418 226 576 is our text line.